Okay, so we are in the third Perek. We started going over last week the seven qualities that only Hashem has, and having the combination of these seven qualities is what makes him the only thing in the world that's worthwhile trusting, because everything else is going to have a hole in its system. You can have someone, a friend who really loves you dearly, who really, 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 really wants to help you and really means well, but just doesn't know how to get through 5 hours of traffic in 15 minutes, and therefore if he's stuck in traffic, he just cannot come to help you. He really wants to, but he can't come to help you. But with Hashem, as we said, as an example, nothing can get in the way of Hashem. There's nothing that's outside of Hashem, so if Hashem needs something to help someone, he has it to be able to help, whilst a friend doesn't always have that. So now we're going to do the sixth quality. We're on page 65. The sixth quality that Hashem has that makes him worthwhile to trust. V'hashishi, sheyeda rav tov ha'adikim al ha'adam, u'ma shehiskel oisai boi merov ha'chesed v'atova. The sixth quality is to recognize the great kindness that Hashem bestows on people, and how he began to be so kind and good at the beginning of a person's formation in the womb of his mother, without his being deserving on it. And without God needing him. Rather, it is out of his generosity, goodness, and kindness that he does so, as explained in Shah HaBechina. So this, what we're learning now is Shaha Bitochen, which is just one section of a ten part book. So in Shaha Bechina, he basically speaks to the emotions. He just gives you a bit of an overall idea of things to think about to realize how big God is, how great God is. So just as in, and it's a very, very healthy exercise. It's an exercise that a person should do as many times a day as possible. Our way of fearing God, we call it fearing, yira. We call it fear, but it's really awe. So what does awe mean? What's the difference between awe and fear? So fear is I'm doing something because I'm scared of something that's going to happen to me if I don't do this. Meaning, I am afraid of a punishment. If I'm afraid of a punishment, I have fear of the person that's going to give the punishment, that if he sees me doing this, I'm going to get punished. Awe, as you're saying, awe is much higher than fear. It's not... All is, you just take an idea about Hashem and you think how much you can expand this idea in your mind. For example, think how much thoughts are going through your mind in a single hour. How many thoughts are going through your mind in a single hour? Kama machshavot yesh lecha b'shah achad.
In your mind?
If you had to tell over these thoughts to someone, how much time would that take you? If I had to tell 1 hour worth of thoughts over... So you guys here would be here for much, much, much longer than 1 hour. We'd be here for many, many, many hours. Why? Because a 1 second of a thought is based up on years and years and years of experience. It's only because of all the things that I've seen and all the things that are going on in my life, all the things that have ever happened in my life, every person I've ever met, every word that I've heard from the English dictionary, if I heard it X amount of times, then my brain knows it. If I only heard it once or twice, I don't. All the different things going on in that thought process are all going to depend on everything that has happened. So this is what he is saying here. So he's saying, okay, that the reason why you should trust Hashem is because you have to realize that Hashem knew about us. Hashem gave us chesed when we were, you know, when we were just like a little egg and a little seed. No, it's good. It's good. But now Shah HaBechina takes this sort of thinking to the next level. That's on a basic level. It's a great thing to think about. Think about how much goes on in your brain in 1 hour and how much information is loaded into that. Now, imagine I told you that there is someone that I know that is inside the brains of 10 people at the same time. You'd be like, whoa, someone can think all these thoughts that I have in 1 hour can be inside 10, and then I say 100. 8 billion. God is inside 8 billion brains at the same time, navigating every single thought. He's involved in every single detail. He's moving everything around, and he's not stopping after 1 hour. He's going on for days and days and days.
You say somebody can listen all the idea in the 1 hour.
לא. אמרתי שאם אנחנו חושבים כמה מחשבות יש לאדם בשעה אחת.
שלושת אלפים.
ולהגיד כל זה, זה ייקח לך...
10 שנים.
10 שנים, למה? שעה אחת, 10 שנים, למה? אז כל המחשבות בשעה הזה, הם באים מ-50 שנה של היסטורי, כן? כל מחשבה שאתה חושב, זה לא שאתה חושב את זה פתאום. עכשיו, כן? it's your brain.
It's a boot.
מאז שאתה היית ילד קטן, כל פעם שראית את הצבע הזה, אתה חשבת על משהו כזה. אז עכשיו, אחרי 50 שנה, אתה ראית את הצבע הזה, תוך השעה הזה, ויש כל ההיסטוריה הזה...
במוח,
בחצי דקה. כן? אז שעה של מחשבה, זה חודשיים של דיבור. כן? והקדוש ברוך הוא בתוך כל מוח, כל הזמן, כבר... So he's inside of everything, meaning that nothing is outside of him. Everything that he's given us is just a present and a gift. As David HaMelech says, Rabbis Osisa Ata Hashem Eleka. You have done great things, you Hashem our God. Niflei Secha Umachshavei Secha Eleinu. Your wonders and your thoughts are for us. Ein aroich eilecha, there is no one equal to you. Agida v'adabeira otzmu misape. Were I to tell and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to tell. So, I just want to say over a very quick moshul that we heard. Some of you may have heard it. It was given over here by Ariel Margi 1 week by Shalish Shudas. He brought a moshul from the Abar Benel, that the Abar Benel says the story of a king. The guy that was saying over the story here said that it could be that the Abar Benel said the story about himself, that it wasn't an external story, because the Abar Benel used to work in the king's he used to work in the king's palace. He was apparently, I mean, all of them, the Abar Benel, the Rambam, a lot of the Sephardi doctors over the years, they used to work in different palaces, mainly in medicine, because they obviously used to source all their ideas from the Torah, from the word of Hashem, rather than from science, and therefore they were better doctors by default. Anyway, so the Abar Benel gives over a story. So he first asked on this thing that we just said here, that Hashem has done great things. There is no one equal to you. Were I to tell and speak of your wonders, there would be too many to tell. Meaning, it's impossible for me, as a human being, to say the praises of Hashem. Now in Nishmas, which we say on Shabbos morning, we start off Nishmas Kol Chai, that the neshama of every living being wants to praise Hashem and wants to thank you. And then we go into a dilemma. The problem is that even if my mouth would have the abilities of the water in the ocean, and my eyes would be like the sun and the moon, even if I had all these wonderful abilities, I would never be able to thank you. On even one of the tens of millions of kindnesses that you do for me. Okay, so we should end there and we should all go home from shul. Hashem, you're so amazing. The biggest praise that you can give someone is, you're so amazing, I have no words. Yeah, you know, like people like to stand up, when they want to thank someone, and to this person, I have no words. We should just say that to Hashem. Hashem, I have no words. And Nishmas should end there, but Nishmas doesn't. What does it say? It goes on about all these abilities that, even if I had all of these, I wouldn't be able to do anything. And then it says, Al-Kain, therefore, Evorim Shepirag Tabonu, the limbs that you gave us, the ruach and neshama shenafachti b'peinu, and the neshama that you gave us, the lashona shesamtitinu, and this little tongue that you gave me, hein hein yoidi v'varcha v'shalcha v'faru v'sharu v'roma v'aritza v'yagdisha v'amnicha t'peinu v'yashkan v'zosvad. These, all these things that you gave me, these are what I'm going to use to praise you with. So the Baraman asks, what's this all about? We first say, even if I had all the abilities in the world, I wouldn't be able to. Therefore, I'm going to use this. So the Baraman story goes like this. There was a king who, one of his most loyal servants, everyone was jealous of this one loyal servant, and the other main advisors to the king, they went to the king over and over again and said, listen, like, this guy, you know, your J.D. Vance, he's not really, you know, he's really in it for his own covers. He's looking to take everything away from you one day. He's not really here to serve you properly. So the king says, listen, I find this hard to believe. He's my most trusted thing. I speak to him about everything. You know, he's my second in command. They said, yeah, there's something fishy about him. So the king said, okay, so how do I test him? He said, so these guys said to the king, the other advisors, they said, listen, tell him it's your birthday coming up. He should make you a party, but he has to pay for it with his own money. That way we'll get to see whether he serves you because he cares about you, or whether he just only serves you because he cares about his colleague. So this guy goes and he starts to organize a party for the king, and he knows he has to pay for it by himself, but he goes all out. He calls all the top caterers and the top musicians and the top thing. He gets all the finest cloths from all around the world. He makes the most phenomenal. He calls all the kings from the other cities, and he organizes transport for them. he organized this stunning party, and he paid for it all by himself. And the king comes to this birthday party, and the king is blown away. He's like, this is the guy that organized this, the guy that they said hates me. It is not possible. Look at this. It's, you know, the most splendid place to be. The king looks over at this group of advisors that has told him he wants to see. And they're like, how are they going to explain this? What's going on? And the advisors see him. The advisors come running over and say, "Chief King, look at the person that organized the party. Look at him. He's not enjoying himself. He's running around. He's under pressure. If he really did this for your covert, he'll be here. He'll be standing by the door welcoming in people. He's busy running around. He obviously doesn't care about you." The king is all confused. He's asked this guy to make a party. This guy's made the most magnificent party, and now they're saying that the guy's not enjoying the party. Anyway, the king basically goes back to his advisors and says to his advisors, "So listen, he's like, what's next? This guy made an amazing party. What's next?" So they said, "Now you've got to tell him to make a second party, but this time you should pay for it. This time you, the king, you should write him a check and you should pay it, and you'll see that when this party comes around, he'll be enjoying himself. The reason why he wasn't happy at this party was because he had spent the money, but at the next party, you'll see he's going to be calmer." Okay, so the king calls him the next day. The king says, "How much was that party that you did for me?" He says, $5 million. The king's like, "Wow. Okay, here's a check, $5 million. I want another party 2 months' time from now." So the guy starts to organize again a party for 2 months' time. The king's party starts calling everyone. And finally, the day of the party comes. And as the advisors had said was going to happen, this guy, he's walking around the party and he's in a good mood. He's welcoming in everyone. He sees all these kings that, all the different people coming in. He goes down to the caterers. He's going around, he's picking up things. He's schmoozing, he's having a good time. So the advisors go back to the king. So you see, the last party where he spent his own money, he was under pressure, he was running around. This party where he was spending your money, look at him, he's happy. It's proof that he doesn't really care about you. So the king calls this guy in and says, "You're going to have to explain to him what is going on." And nothing seems to make sense. So the guy says, "It's very simple. The first party, you the king, you called me in, you said it's your birthday, and I need to honour you. And that was all you said. I need to honour you. You didn't give me any limitations. You said I need to pay for it, which means that I'm only limited by what my money cannot buy. So I tried to make the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful party. I tried to organise all the best things. On the night of the party, I was going around, and I was angry with myself. I only got silver cups. I should have got gold cups. I didn't get any. I should have had more red roses around. I should have had more caterers. Should have had more singers. I should have had more pieces in the band. All I was thinking about was all the time. I was thinking about all the things that I should have done better, because the job that you gave me didn't have a limit." He said, "But the second time, you wrote me out a check and you said, 'Here's $5 million. Go make the best party out of this.' I made the best party. Once I spent the $5 million, I knew I had done what you were wanted from me." Says the Baruch Nel that this is what's happening in Nishmas. In Nishmas, we start off and we say, "Hashem, listen, even like I have no way of paying you back. Even if my mouth was like this, and even if my eyes were like the sun and the moon, even if I had all these incredible abilities, I would have no way of paying you back. However, I have what you gave me. The tool that you gave me, the check that you gave me, I will at least use that to thank you. I don't have eyes that are as bright as the sun and the moon, that can see as great as the sun and the moon. Therefore, I can't thank you with that. But what I can do, Al-Kain, Evorim Shepilag Tabanu, Baruch Nusham Hashem Fach V'Yapeinu, Hein Hein Yoyed V'Varchu. The tools that you gave to me, the things that you gave to me, the koichas that you gave to me, the mouth that you gave to me, the abilities that you gave to me, I can at least use those to try praising you some way." So that was the mashal of the Baruch Nel. So I'll come in, because over here we are saying, you have done great things, you, O Lord, my God. Your wonders and your thoughts are for us. There is no one equal to you. Were I to tell and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to tell. So this is the sixth quality that we have to realize about Hashem, is that Hashem has more than we will ever be able to thank him for. Hashem is doing so much more. The fact that we are all Baruch Hashem, whatever day it is of our lives, this morning when we woke up, when we opened our eyes, that was the moment that we found out that we have another 24 hours to live. Until then, we had absolutely no idea. Yesterday, I had no idea if I was going to be alive today. None of us know if we're going to be here tomorrow morning. We hope and we assume and we daven, but we need to realize that ultimately Hashem, even before we wake up, is already giving us a gift that is more valuable than we could ever pay for or thank him for. And we just have to realize that in terms of trusting, because he's giving us so much more than we could ever give him, that makes him a very good candidate for being trusted. V'ashvi, and the final quality, v'ashvi, she'yisbor etzo, ki yesh lechol ha'avoy, she'bo'in mazeh, mi'etzem o'mikre, gavul yodua. The seventh quality, it should be clear to the person that all things in existence in this world, both those that are essential, referring to the beings and objects themselves that were brought into creation, and those that are accidental, referring to the events that happen to those objects and beings, all these things have a clear and defined limit, and it is impossible to add or subtract from the limit that God, may he be blessed, has decreed. A person cannot increase that which was decreed to be few. A person cannot minimize that which was decreed to be many. A person cannot bring forward a person cannot delay that which is meant to happen soon. And a person cannot push off that, and a person cannot bring earlier that which is meant to be delayed. Basically, a person has no control over how long he will live, how much money he will earn, or when something will happen. Everything is in God's hands. Although a person often seems to have influence over what will happen, this is not really true, as the author carries on. That which does happen in this manner has been decreed by the Creator from the beginning of creation. Although sometimes we do see new, strange, and unexpected things, those things were also decreed by God from the beginning of time. We have no control. No. Nothing that we ever do is actually changing. And this is where the very interesting thing, you know, we're in like the month now of davening. We're in like the month now where, you know, we get told, oh, you got all the shubba because we're going to rearrange what the next year is going to look like. Hashem's going to be sitting there with a book, and the book, Hashem's going to have different piles of books. One is going to say book of life, and one's going to say book of death. And based on our tefillah, we're going to be changing something. So do we change? Do we have any influence on the outcome? I mean, it seems to be pretty clear here that we cannot change. Something that's going to happen is going to happen. Something that's not going to happen is not going to happen.
So if someone's sick and they go to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe davens for them, and the person is cured, it was deemed that the person was going to be sick, and the person was going to go to this Rebbe, and this Rebbe was going to answer prayers, deliver prayers, and they were going to be answered, and that was it. So it really wasn't that God answered his prayers, or is it that God answered his prayers? In other words, did he change things or not?
Very good. Very good. So the truth is that this is one of the most spoken about subjects. There's no definitive answer. It changes. A mashal that I thought of today, I don't know, I do still want to check it up to see if it has any serious backing. I like to go with my kids every few months. We'll go to a big toy store. We'll go to like the big Mac stock, let's say, in Far Saba, which is like a bit of a bigger one than the local ones. And my kids can buy X amount of prizes. And these prizes that they buy are not prizes that they're earning now in the shop. These are where they go to choose what they want for the next year, where they choose what they want for the next few months. And then when they're home, then they have to try earning each of these prizes like individually. I think with tefillah, it's true that Hashem, that everything is going to happen to us anyway. However, there's that little opening that we need to open. When we talk to Hashem and we dive into Hashem, there's a small tefillah that we're opening. There's a small gate that we're opening. The bracha is there already. The bracha is happening. But we have to open the gate in order to allow it to fall. So the question is then, how does davening work? I mean, if you look at the structure of Shemayin Esra, you've got some really interesting, like, there's some words in Shemayin Esra, just because you mentioned about the medical, yeah? So you mentioned about the guy going to the rabbi. What are the words that we say in Shemayin Esra? Rafa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe. Heal us Hashem, and then we will be healed. Hoshienu, save us, v'nei vasheya, and we will be saved. Meaning, if you save us, then we will be in a past tense, in a saved status. Rafa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe, hoshienu v'nei vasheya. Why? Ki seh lasein otah, because we daven to you. Please give a refuah shleim to everyone. The structure, even just of that one bracha, seems a bit interesting. How we structure it. Even like, you know, the first three brachas of Shemayin Esra, as we know, are all praises of Hashem. Yeah, Hashem is mechayim meisim, roifecholim, matrasurim, and everything else. He's mechal chayim atakadosh. All these micha meicha ba'gavurais. Who would like you? Everything's wonderful, and then we finish the flattery, and it's like, okay, now atachoinin, I need some of you, I need some brain power from you, I need some health from you, I need this in from you. We suddenly go through all the brachas of all the things that we need, and then at the end, we say, Moedim, thanks a lot, keep giving us all the miracles, keep doing everything, give us a bit of peace, and we're out of there. It seems like a very abrupt way. You know, if I want something from someone and I go to them and I say, oh, you're the nicest guy, you're just the best at what you're doing, you're just really good, you're really good, you're really good. Oh, by the way, please can you help me with blah, blah, blah. It's a bit of a, as the Israelis say, zeksat lo matim. It feels like it's a bit funny. And also, like we said, what are we actually changing? All these brachas that we're doing, the atachon, all these different brachas that we're doing, what are we actually changing? Hashem has decided already everything that's going to happen. So I heard last year from Rabbi Taga, who's the Rosh Shiva of Yeshiva in the Old City. He gave a share on the safari, on the Labor Day trip last year. He actually asked 8 questions in total. I'll have them written down if anyone wants. I could send you the PDF of it. But he explained that davening is not really what we think it is. Davening is not us asking Hashem to go do something, because like we said, what's happening is happening. Take it or leave it, it's going to happen. Davening is a certain level of relationship that we have with Hashem, where we admit to Hashem that without you, I am completely and utterly helpless. Without you, I have absolutely nothing. Even though I know that when I say to you, please can you help this and this person have a refuah shleima, it's completely at your discretion whether you listen to me or not. If you do listen to me, it's because you were going to do it anyway. If you don't listen to me because you won't, because you were never going to do it, because this person has to be ill only to inspire those with fitness, but it's not for them to use, whatever it is. But when I turn to Hashem and I say, Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa, and I give a list of the names, whether Hashem listened to them or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not asking Hashem to go make those people better. I am simply telling Hashem, like an Eved would tell his master, like a poor person who goes,
you're just letting go. Who goes?
I go to Hashem and I say, I realize that you are the only one who can save a life. Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa. If you say tick, it happens. If you say sorry, not this time, it doesn't happen. So I now have a dilemma, because I know these 5 people that are ill. So I'm going to mention their names. Are you going to do anything with it? It doesn't matter. But I know that the only possible thing that I can do with these names is tell you about it, because you're the only one that, because you're the only one that can fix it. Meaning, I know that I can't help them. I know that no doctors in the world can help them. So who can help them? They are ill. You can help them. Are you going to help them because I'm telling you to? No. But I have no one else to tell this information to. So Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa, I now realize, God, that you are the only one. If you say someone should be healed, they'll be healed. Hoshienu, if you save us, v'nei Vashaya, we will be saved. Therefore, I'm going to tell you this list of names of people that I know who are ill. And I'm going to think about all the chayim that I know, all the chayim in town, all the chayim in the Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, there's hundreds of people every single day suffering all sorts of things. You go to every single hospital here in this country, every time you see an ambulance, every time you see a Mada or anything driving around past you, stop for a moment and say to Hashem, the same as you would in Shemini Esrei, say, Hashem, whatever this ambulance is on the way to, save that person. Because it's not the ambulance driver when he gets there is going to save the person, it's Hashem who's going to save the person. And when we recognize that Hashem is the source of all the Yeshuas, is the only one that can fix any of our problems, then suddenly the whole idea of Shemini Esrei changes. At the beginning, the first 3 brachas where we're doing an excessive amount of praise, yeah, because that's us saying to ourselves, Hashem, I realize you're Mechal Kachayim, you're the one who gives all the life, all the sustenance, all the. We go through the whole list. And then, Atochoinin. Now, I need help for my brain to be clearer during the day. I know that you are the only one that can affect something. And therefore, I'm just going to tell you how I feel about it.
It's almost like we're setting ourselves up to put ourselves into the mood where we can ask Hashem for it. We can't come right away and say, Hashem, we need this, we need that. That's a chutzpah. So we said we have to bring ourselves to the realization that...
But even when we ask, we're not asking as if, Hashem, you can do this? Yalla, let's go. Mm. When we're asking, we're really saying to Hashem, Hashem knows what's going on in our brains. Hashem's inside everyone. We're just saying to Hashem, I realize that you are the only one that can deal with all of these things. And therefore, nothing to lose. Give me some of your brain power. Now, do I ever know if that question has been answered? When I suddenly remember someone's name, I'm busy sitting there and I'm trying to think of a tune, and the tune suddenly pops in. That's my Chochma Bina Das working. Any thought that comes into your mind is Chochma Bina Das. When that happens, do you say, oh wow, Hashem answered my tefillah in my Shemini Esrei? I say, no, we don't even think about it. Because when we're asking, we're not really asking because we need the Chochma Bina Das. We're asking because we're telling Hashem, I realize Chochma Bina Das is yours. I realize that even the ability of Hashiveinu Avinu Lesorasecha, even to return to your Torah, is a gift that you can either give me or not give me. To be able to daven with a peace of mind and to be able to feel like I'm connecting is a gift from Hashem. How do we know? Could we say to Hashem, to Manasseh, V'korveinu malkeinu la'avodasecha, bring us closer to your thing. So every single part of Shemini Esrei, when you look at it, not as a way of what more can I get out? How can I ask Hashem for more? Oh, here's a great time to ask for Paranossa, and here's a great time to tell Hashem that he has to fix that person, and he has to do this, and he has to make this time. No. Look at the whole Shemini Esrei as praises of Hashem. Try it. This is what Rabbi Taga told us to do. He said, try doing one Shemini Esrei a week like that, where you look at the whole Shemini Esrei, and before you go in, you say, I'm not asking Hashem for anything in the Shemini Esrei. I'm just going to thank him. Rafa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafa. And you think about what that means. That every time that you hear of someone going for an operation, any sort of medical thing you've ever heard of someone who gets tablets and boom, anytime you've taken paracetamol, or Akamol, whatever you call it, you've taken tablets, and pitom, 30 minutes later, headache gone. But we never stop to think about it. When are we meant to think about it? During Shemini Esrei. When we say Rafa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafa, those three words, if your whole connection with God for the rest of your life is only on those three words, you're doing absolutely great. Because most of us, we say the words, we move, Rafa'enu Hashem, there's so many words to say, so many things. But all these middle brachos of Shemini Esrei are all part of the praise of Hashem. And yeah, sure.
Very good.
Now,
the
Benham
Yodel.
He said 30, 35, 32.